Well, Love Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody.
Love Talk Radio.
It's the morning show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Good morning. I was just showing you a few of the interesting headlines. I'm Norma Adams Wade, and you are tuned in to I Was Just Thinking, and I'm so happy to see that you're all in your places with bright, shiny faces, and this is the way you start a new day. Let me quickly tell you about my mask. I know we've got all kind of updated protocol rules about wearing a mask against the COVID-19 virus and all of the variants. I've got to update myself on it. I know the President Joe Biden addressed it with his State of the Union. But I got to get caught up, and until I'm really clear, and you know what, to be honest with you, I probably will still continue to wear it even after, you know, I get clear on where we exactly stand. Right now, I know the elected officials were all without their mask, and the VP and the head of the House and all of that. So, but at any rate, I'm going to update myself. But while I am on air, since I am pretty much in a room by myself, I am going to go ahead and remove it. And then when I go back into the public, if I can get it off, I will put it back on. So, taking off my mask and still greeting you this morning. So let's see where to begin. We know a lot is going on. A lot. Why is everything? Gosh, why is so much happening? I need a breather, don't you? Gosh, we can hardly take our breath. The election. National health situation, crime and chaos, and national potential wars and takeovers of people who are minding their, of countries that are minding their own business, and others who feel like they wake up one morning and just feel like they want to go and take their neighbor's country. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? Well, let's see. Let's start with the kind of the local headline. Oh, and let me tell you about our guest. Our guest, and I'm tempted not to tell you who it is and let you be surprised. He's coming on at noon, so he will be in our second hour from noon to 1. But I'll go ahead and tell you who it is. It's Paul Allen, and I'm really, I've got a lot of questions for him. He is the head of the Dallas County chapter of the Buffalo Soldiers. Now, I'm not going to try to explain the Buffalo Soldiers, but fascinating black history, fascinating. But we're going to talk with him at the second hour. I couldn't hold it. I wanted to surprise you, but I just had to go ahead and tell you who he is. But let's kind of review while we're building up to Alan. Let's kind of review the headlines, our local daily paper headlines. Of course, give us the update on the election outcome. So yesterday, March 1, first day of March, Tuesday, was the Texas primaries. So just to kind of give you a run through real quick, I know you've been bombarded with the results on your television stations, but just kind of let me review you. The local daily paper, the Dallas Morning News, says the main headline is, it's Abbott versus O'Rourke. And the subheads are the foes push A.G. Paxton into a likely runoff. And then the other one is Patrick pulls away from challengers. And the third one, Crockett may face a runoff for Eddie Bernice Johnson's seat. So those are the three main subheads about the Texas primary. And then, of course, the attorney general, who is Ken Paxton. It says attorney general Ken Paxton appears headed into a runoff election after a hotly contested GOP primary that put a spotlight on the incumbent's mounting legal troubles. And we've heard all about the legal troubles, but we'll see. He may be headed to a runoff. Now, one of those other races that got a lot of TV coverage, I mean, George P. Bush running for land commissioner, gosh, every 10 minutes, like, there was a TV commercial or so. But anyway, Land Commissioner George P. Bush and former state Supreme Court Justice Eva Guzman were locked in a battle for the second place slot, with the pair running neck and neck. I mean, they're running neck and neck. The runner will advance into the next round. And so those are kind of the main two. And let's see, here's another one about Governor Abbott and for the Republicans, and Beto O'Rourke for the Democrats running for governor of Texas. So here's the lead. Governor Greg Abbott and Beto O'Rourke jumped to big early leads and won their primaries nominations for Texas governor without a runoff. So there will be no runoff in the governor's race, so we'll head straight to the fall elections, and it'll be either the Republican incumbent, Greg Abbott, or the Democratic challenger, Beto O'Rourke. So that was kind of on that. Now let's see what other ones I can just give you a little synopsis about. Trying to get to some of the other ones. Oh, yes. Well, let's talk about President Joe Biden gave the report card on the nation with his State of the Union. And some of the, as I say, he talked about the latest on mask wearing, and of course he talked about Russia and Ukraine, and, you know, just really how we need to push for unity in the nation, and several other hot topics that he related to. And we know that Ukraine and Russia situation is really heartbreaking. I mean, it's absolutely heartbreaking, and it makes you mad. If you've got any kind of public emotion power impose itself so violently on a nation that's minding its own business, where the citizens are simply waking up in the morning and trying to take care of their families, and for this powerful nation just to bombard itself across the border and start destroying the country. And there are many lost lives of the inhabitants of Ukraine. But they're fighting, and I admire them so much. And I always wondered about the Afghanistan people. I needed a lot more information on why Afghanistan didn't stand up more than it did. But Ukraine, they're fighting. I mean, and the women, I mean, the men are going to fight, and the women are taking up, they're taking up the slack, and they're really, you know, putting up a good defense. So I certainly wish them well. And let's see. Okay. Here's one about let's see, who is this? I'm trying to find, okay, the Etta Mullins one. Okay, incumbent Etta Mullins was trailing challenger Monique Bracey Huff in early returns for County Criminal Court at Law 10. That was one that was kind of getting a lot of attention. Oh, and then, of course, the race for incumbent Tammy Kemp. She had an easy lead, so it was a hard-fought race, and she pulled it. Incumbent Tammy Kemp was leading challenger Bree West for the 204 State District Court. Of course, we know that was the case of police officer Amber Geiger and Botham John, who was killed in his apartment. And that was a very, very, very controversial and highly watched case. And so that race got a lot of attention. Let's see if I can point out just a couple of other races. I think I mentioned about the 30th Congressional District. Now, this was, of course, the district where Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson held for many, many years, and she strongly endorsed Jasmine Crockett to be her successor. But then a come-from-behind person, Jane Hope Hamilton, came forward, and now there will be a runoff. So let's see what the lead says. State Representative Jasmine Crockett on Tuesday was cruising to a first-place finish in the race to replace longtime U.S. Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, but the Democrat is likely to face a runoff against former Congressional Chief of Staff Jane Hope Hamilton. And then the news goes on to talk about how there's a lot of money in that campaign, and the incumbent Congresswoman Johnson has strongly endorsed and supported Jasmine Crockett, but they're headed for a runoff, so we will be watching that race with great curiosity. And of course, Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins will say, okay, let's see what this one says. Jenkins Davis lead pack. There were a lot of people running for county judge, but the two Jenkins and Davis, Lauren Davis and Clay Jenkins, they were head of the pack. So let's see what it says. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins will likely face local business owner Lauren Davis in the November general election, and Andrew Summerman and Michelle Ocker, I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly, were leading a group of four Democrats to challenge Republican County Commissioner J.J. Couch. Okay, so we'll follow that. Oh, and then here's one other, the race for Dallas County District Attorney. So the head-to-head competition there was incumbent D.A. John Cruzo and challenger Elizabeth Frizzell. So it says challenger Frizzell calls race a recount after the 2018 primary loss. Now, I'm not exactly clear. I need to research that a little further on what that means. But let's see what the head lead here says. It says incumbent John Cruzo is comfortably leading challenger Elizabeth Frizzell in the Democratic primary for Dallas County District Attorney in early returns. It says the winner will face Republican and former DA Faith Johnson in November. We know that Faith Johnson is Republican, Cruzo and Frizzell, both Democrats. And let's see, this might explain my question a little better. Frizzo has called this year's race the recount after losing to Cruzo by just 589 votes in the 2018 primary. Frizzell filed a lawsuit shortly after the election alleging voter fraud. This was back in 2018. The lawsuit was dismissed later that year in December, and she did not ask for a recount. So that was a little bit of a controversy on that race. And I think those are, and with the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick is leading big. And the Democratic challengers will face a runoff. And let's see. And it says, of course, Dan Paxton is likely to not have to face a runoff. So those are some of the main highlights in the races. And so I did, while we're preparing for our guests, I did want to mention a few things that are happening here locally. I want you to prepare to attend the Alan Brooks Memorial Libation Ceremony and a panel discussion that will be tomorrow, March 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Now, let me see what it says here. You can reserve your seat at thanksgiving.org, Remembering Black Dallas. The event is sponsored by Remembering Black Dallas and the Dallas County Justice Initiative. And we know that Alan Brooks is the African-American man who was enslaved during the period of slavery, and he was hanged in downtown Dallas, and a memorial monument. These two sponsoring organizations did a long and hard-fought campaign and movement to have a monumental memorial placed for him, and that was done earlier this year. Very, very well successful campaign. And so now they will have a panel discussion tomorrow about it. And some of the panelists are Dr. Christopher Dowdy, Olinka Green. We know she's a very active local advocate. Ed Gray, who's very supportive of the Dallas County Justice Initiative. Amber Sams, who's a very involved local advocate. And Dr. J. Larry Allums will moderate this panel discussion. And so there will be a reception at 6, and the program is from 6:30 to 8. Now, here's where it will be. It will be at the Latino Cultural Center, that's downtown, 2600 Live Oak Street downtown. And then the libation ceremony will be at 11 a.m. tomorrow at Main and Ackert, which is called Pegasus Plaza. And people, I think, were really, I guess, impressed. I was impressed that after so many years of us clucking our tongue over the travesty of the hanging of Allen Brooks, and there's so much history about that, and we all just kind of felt powerless, almost like the Santos Rodriguez situation where the young Latino boy many years ago was shot in the head while he was handcuffed in the back of a police car. You just feel so angry and powerless about it. Then finally, there was a monument. Of course, you still are very angry about what happened, but at least there's a monument for coming generations to know about that travesty, even the sort of like the Emmett Till situation, but the Allen Brooks. So anyway, I'm proud of Remembering Black Dallas and the Dallas County Justice Initiative, because they didn't just sit silently. The battle was looked almost impossible, but they were able to. They have just covered so much ground in having come as far as they have. So anyway, there will be the libation ceremony at 11, and then the panel discussion. Reception at 6, and then the panel discussion from 6:30 to 8. And this is at the Latino Cultural Center at 2600 Live Oak downtown. So I want to bring that up to you. And I want to let me just tell you a little bit. I'm so proud of efforts that are being made to give jobs to formerly incarcerated people. And so here's an event. The Regional Black Contractors Association, Now, they have an office there in South Dallas, but they're really kind of, they have their headquarters is on Martin Luther King Boulevard, but these black contractors, they do a lot. So they have a second chance construction training class that they do, and they just recently had a graduation, and these graduates completed their four-week training course at Dallas College. Now, you may say Dallas College, but you know what? Dallas College is the old Dallas County Community College District. It recently, a couple of years ago, I guess, changed its name. But when you see something that says an event is held at Dallas College, it's talking about the Dallas County Community College District. So anyway, the Regional Black Contractors Association held its graduation for the Second Chance Program, and there's all kind of information that you can get about how, if you are a formerly incarcerated person, how you can get into these classes and, take training courses and then go through the graduation. And they really do a great job of helping formerly incarcerated people get jobs. And so if you want, some of their flyers say everyone deserves a second chance. So they invite you to their employment opportunity orientation so you can call for an appointment. And here's the number, and ask for Pam Davis. And the number you can call, well, let me tell you about the program before I give you the number. It says the program successfully, it's a successful reentry program that gives former offenders opportunities to support themselves through legitimate and productive work, reducing recidivism and improving public safety. Having an effective reentry process that allows those who are leaving prison to become contributing members of society. And so here are a few of the qualifications. You must have been released from state jail or prison within 1 to 3 years. You must have two forms of ID, either a state-issued ID and or Social Security card. You must be 18 years or older. You must be ready to work. And get this last point. You must be able to follow instruction. Now, that sounds simplistic, doesn't it? But you know what? Being able to follow instructions, that's kind of a problem for many individuals. And I'm old school, but I'm going to say that younger generations have more and more of a problem with it. And y'all don't be angry with me for saying that. I guess that's a personal opinion. But at any rate, now let me go back to the phone number. If you want to call for an appointment and you meet all of these qualifications, call Pam Davis, 214-565-5606. I'm going to give it to you again. If you meet all of those qualifications, you want a second chance after having spent some time behind bars, call Pam Davis, 214-565-5606. And this is the Regional Black Contractors Association, and you can get into some training and be able to re-enter society, because we know that the doors were closed for so many painful and unfair years when individuals would be released from being locked up, and then every door was closed to them. Couldn't get a job, couldn't get a place to live, had trouble buying food, just that it couldn't vote. At every turn, you paid your debt to society, you'd served your time, you were now clean of the offense that was against you, and yet all these doors were closed to you. And so whenever I see any group that gives a second chance, I'm uplifted and I'm encouraged by it, because it's such a need in society. So you can, in the chat, we've got the phone number of who you can call. It's in the chat. And let's see here. And then other details, you can find other details in our chat. We're getting closer to our time for our guests. Let me just mention a couple of other things that are going on in the community. The African American Museum had some really interesting exhibits going on right now. I'm trying to find the name of one in particular that I saw the other day. Let me see if I can find the name of it. Gosh. Well, the photographic exhibit, we've talked about that one, the photographic exhibit by George Fuller, and it's called Politics, Protest, and Black Progress in Dallas from the 1980s to the 1990s. But in the down where the auditorium is in the African American Museum is a captivating exhibit by Miss Jones out of Houston. And she has compiled just so much detail about inventions and breakthroughs in medicine, breakthroughs in self in beautification, breakthroughs in science, breakthroughs in technology and education, and she's got just very detailed installments there at the African American Museum. She's out of Houston, and I'll have more information about it. For some reason, my eyes are not finding the name of that exhibit, but it's all about our African-American contributions to all the aspects of society, science, education, law, health, inventions, education, I said education, beauty, care, and so educational. I mean, you can learn so much by visiting that exhibit down at the level where the auditorium is in the African American Museum. And of course, we know the African American Museum is at the State Fair. And so I urge you to go and ask for the exhibit. Where is Miss Jones' exhibit here in the museum? And it's down where the auditorium is. So go visit the African American Museum and go to that exhibit. Now, here's a play presented by Soul Rep Theater Company, and it's March 10 through 19. And the name of this play is Do No Harm, and it's written by one of our favorite daughters of Dallas, Anyika Macmillan Herod. She's just a very impressive young woman, just extremely impressive. She's so busy and so talented, and she's always bringing us information. This play, Do No Harm, presented by Soul Rep Theater Company, is March 10 through 19, and it's at the Wiley Theater, which is right over there by the Booker T. Washington High School of the Arts Education Facility in Dallas. And the exact address is 2400 Flora Street. Now, this play was commissioned by theologian Dr. Evelyn Parker and the Association of Practical Theology. The play explores the story of three enslaved women who were experimented on without anesthesia by Dr. Marion Sims during the period of enslavement. And this evil, I'm going to call him evil, this evil man, Dr. J. Marion Sims, he is given the credit as being the father of modern gynecology. This is a story not only of pain, but of sisterhood and survival. Now, if you can get beyond just the thought, of the pain that these female descendants of Africa endured under the hand of this man who was a physician. If you can get beyond that, the play also talks about our strength as our sisterhood of female descendants of Africa, and our strength as survivors. It was filmed in November 2020 in a cabin of enslaved people that's located at Dallas Heritage Village in Dallas, right north, right south of downtown. And it made its world premiere as a hybrid play film for Soul Rep's recent 25th anniversary season. The company looks forward to sharing this powerful and insightful story as originally intended. Now, it's coming through the Elevator Project. And the Elevator Project is another worthwhile endeavor that helps people bring themselves up out of poverty. And to, it's the elevator, you lift yourself up out of bad situations, and it helps you to get into better positions to thrive. One day we'll talk a little bit more about the Elevator Project, but this play is part of that. Now here's, okay, the tickets, you can get the tickets online, and there is the plays are at 8 p.m. They're at 8 p.m. And so if you go to the Soul Rep website, you'll get all the information on how you get tickets and what have you. And the promo even shows some illustrations and photos of what some of these women endured. Oh, but here's the box office number. You can call 214-880-0202. And, that will, you know, give you more information about that. Now, just real quickly, we're going to talk about the park and the Revitalized South Dallas Coalition. They do such a good job of keeping us informed on various things that are going on, and particularly for African-American, well, people who live in southern Dallas. The Park and Recreation Summer Camp scholarships are available, and the application deadline is this Friday, March 4th. So if you live in Dallas and you have youth ages 5 to 12, you may be eligible to participate in this 8-week summer camp at all participating Dallas parks. And so you can find out more about that. Go to the Dallas Park, go to dallaspark.org, and it'll give you information about that. And you can also, here's another item. The AT&T Retail is having a hiring day tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 4. And you can have scheduled or walk-in interviews in English and Spanish. When you apply online, you can self-schedule your interview and complete the virtual job tryout. And also, there is a bicycle tour. Now, this is Revitalize South Dallas is telling us about this Dallas Black History Bicycle Tour. That's this Saturday from 10 to noon, and it says Bike-Friendly South Dallas. And the office is on Al Lipscomb Way, 1616 Al Lipscomb Way. And it's free. It's free. Sponsors can host up to 100 riders ages 16 and above for this 10-mile tour. It's a 10-mile tour of South Dallas, and it includes stops at the Juanita Craft House, at the South Dallas Cultural Center, at Ray Charles's old home in South Dallas, and Bon Ton Farm. You don't need to register. Now, the sponsors include Bike-Friendly South Dallas, Grand Prairie, Cedar Hill, and Iron Riders Club. Now, here's a website that you can get information, www.bikefriendlysouthdallas.org. www.bikefriendlysouthdallas.org. And so that's a good thing. Now, let's see. Okay, creating a nonprofit organization. That this is a webinar that will be Saturday. And it's online, and it gives you step-by-step ways of creating a webinar. So here's the contact number, 214-987-9491. Now, the okay, this is a community meeting for the Jubilee Park and Community Center that will be going on Saturday at 10. So those of you who live in that area, you know about that. I wanted to just tell you a little bit about Women's History Month. I wanted to acknowledge Women's History Month before we get to our guests at noon. So Women's History Month. We know that March is Women's History Month. So my effort to try to shine light on females who have really had an impact, I compiled my own list, and if you want to know more about it, you can read my column in the Dallas Morning News, and sometimes you can also get it, a lot of times you can also get it in Texas Metro News, but here's my list, and I remind you that March is Women's History Month. And this is the month when we shine the spotlight on women who've made a difference. And so, you know, everybody can't get in the spotlight, but we can all make our own list. Make your own list of women who you feel have made a contribution. Now, over my years of working with African American history and just history in general, a lot of women have stood out in my mind. So I made my list. Okay, here's my list of 20 individuals. And they're in no particular order, but here they are. Joan of Arc. Now, she was in the 1400s, But back in school, I've always kind of admired her for her bravery and leadership. She was a teenager back in the 1400s, but she was a warrior, and she died a martyr. She was burned at the stake back in the 1400s, but she fought valiant battles in the French and English War, and she did a lot to help her side move forward. But the fact that she was a young female teenager just always struck me. And you can look her up, Joan of Arc, back in the 1400s in the French-English War. And then, of course, many people know that I'm my number two, in no particular order. Everybody who knows anything about me knows that I'm a big fan of Marian Anderson. And she died in 1993 in her 80s. But she was a stunningly powerful contralto, and she had a magnificent presence about herself, and she really influenced my music appreciation. But you can look up Marian Anderson and the triumphs and trials that she overcame as just a stunning contralto voice. Oh my gosh, if you listen to any of her recordings, you'll just be blown away. And here in Dallas, Yvonne Ewell, she was an HBCU graduate, and we know that the Townview Center is named for Yvonne Ewell. She was an educator in Dallas, and she came out of this little town called Frankfort in Texas, and she rose from that little farming community to achieve many high-ranking positions and first in the Dallas School Administration. And she was a teacher of mine. I was young me, sat in some of her classes, and when she was in the classroom, and she definitely made not only an impression on me, but many high-ranking people in Dallas, and that's how she rose to very high ranks in the Dallas Independent School District. I even talk about Eleanor Roosevelt, who, of course, was the wife of one of our former presidents, Franklin Roosevelt. But Eleanor Roosevelt, as a part of Women's History Month, she was an influence on many cultures, and she really linked arms with African Americans. And in her powerful position, she spoke out on many issues where wives just kind of remained silent, but she didn't. She spoke up as the wife of a president during the 30s. And that was a time when women kept their place, so to speak, in the 30s. But she spoke up. So I have her listed as an influence for Women's History Month. Of course, now Harriet Tubman, gosh, I just have claimed her since a very early age. And her lifespan was in the early 1800s, and she died in 1913. But she was, I admired her for her fearless resolve in not accepting slavery as a way of life for herself and for other enslaved descendants of Africa. Historians estimated that she shepherded about 300 other enslaved Africans to freedom from the South to the North. And a powerful story. If you don't know anything about Harriet Tubman during the period of slavery, look her up. And then, of course, I have to mention my role model, Ida B. Wells Barnett. She died in the 1930s, but she was, as a journalist, she was an early African-American journalist, and she inspired me to pick up a pen and write untold stories of my African people. And then Shirley Chisholm, I want to talk about her. She was a daughter of, she was an elected official out of New York, but she was the daughter of her parents were from Barbados, and they immigrated to the United States. And in 1968, Shirley Chisholm became the first black woman elected to Congress. And her slogan at the time was "Unbought and Unbossed." And she threw her hat in the race and became, like I said, the first African-American woman elected to Congress. And then in 1972, she became the first black presidential candidate in a major party race. She threw her hat in the ring. She said, wait a minute, I'm African-American. Yes, I'm female, but you know what? I'm getting in this race. And she ran for president in 1972. Now, we know that ultimately that race, Richard Nixon was the Republican front runner, and George McGovern was the Democrat front runner. We know that Nixon won the race. But now we have to mention that back in 1848, Frederick Douglass, one of our herald African-American leaders who fought valiantly for abolition. He was a candidate in the Liberty Party in 1848. He threw his hat in the ring, and there's, you know, we historians go back and forth about how many votes he got, but at least one vote was recorded that went for him in that race. So, but Shirley Chisholm, oh wow, powerhouse of a woman. So during Women's History Month, we want to mention her. Alice Ball, now that's a name you don't really hear, but I want to talk about her. She was this brilliant chemist, and at age 23, she created the first effective treatment for leprosy. And let me just quickly say that when you go, and I'm urging you to go to that exhibit at the African American Museum down there where the auditorium is on the lower level, her story is on display in that exhibit, so you can learn about her. Go to the museum, go down to the lower level and look at that exhibit. And Alice Ball's installation is part of that exhibit. But anyway, here's the deal about her. She died in 1916, but she was in her 20s. But when she was 23 and she was already considered a brilliant chemist at that time, she created the first effective treatment for leprosy. But the heartbreaking part of her story is that she died suddenly and mysteriously a year after her achievement, and there was unclear, as is our story, unclear credit given to her for her contribution in finding this effective treatment for leprosy. And then that mysterious death, and then some researchers say that her death certificate was altered. But those who continued to pursue her case, eventually she was given honors for her achievement as a some historians even called her a genius, but she made this discovery at 23, and then she died mysteriously and suddenly at age 24. But go and find out about Alice Ball, B-A-L-L, Alice Ball, B-A-L-L. So I list her as an influencer and an achiever during Women's History Month, that who needs to have more light shone on her. And Josephine Baker, she's one. I'm not going to be able to name all of my list, but Josephine Baker, she was kind of risque, but she was just extremely talented. She was both a vaudeville dancer, she was an actress, she was a civil rights advocate, she was very outspoken, and she wouldn't put up with discrimination and inequality. She did ultimately become a legal citizen of France because she just, she didn't have time for the discrimination here. But Josephine Baker, what a powerhouse of entertainment, she died, I think it was around the 70s at some point. But she was in this silent movie called Siren of the Tropics. And I was reading some of the chats here. Okay, here's one commenter who's calling out, and this is Terry Allen in our chat. He's calling out the name of Pearl C. Anderson as his own person that he wants to spotlight during the month. And so you can do the same. You can call out your own highlighted person. So he's calling out Pearl C. Anderson in the chat. Be sure to consult the chat as you're tuning in. So let's see. Now, Golda Meir, I highlight her as a woman, a female influencer. She was a leader of Israel, and she was the first female prime minister of Israel. They called her the Iron Lady. And she was also the first female leader of any Middle East nation. And so some of my runners up, I had some runners up, but in that category, in my personal category, with Iron Lady was Eva Perón and Margaret Thatcher. You can look up both of them. They were some runners up. And let's see. I you know what, in entertainment, I also have Lucille Ball because she was one of the funniest and most entertaining actresses as I was kind of growing up. And she reminded me of my mother. My mother had a strong humor. My mother's humor just always reminded me of Lucille Ball. So I mentioned her. Now, here's an Ethiopian empress that impressed me. And I don't really have a good, reliable pronunciation of her name, but I'm going to pronounce her name as Taitu Batal. And let me spell it. T-A-Y-T-U. That's the first name. Some historians spell it T-A-I-T-U. But Taitu, and the last name of Batal is B-E-T-U-L. Now, she lived in Ethiopia in the mid-1800s and the early 1900s, but she is memorable as an Ethiopian empress because she put on her battle armor, got on a horse, she led her own battalion, and this was a very famous battle that saved Ethiopia from European colonization in 1896. It was a very well-recorded battle. And the Europeans were going to take over Ethiopia, but she said, not on my watch. And she was married to a leader, an Ethiopian leader, and she was the wife, but she shared leadership with her husband, almost like what I'm telling you about Eleanor Roosevelt in the 1930s. But in Ethiopia, Miss Taitu Batal, she put on her battle gear, got on her horse, led her own battalion, and won this famous battle in 1896. And it helped. It saved, because we know that Ethiopia has had a lot of trauma in later years, but while our girl was in charge, our woman was in charge, she defended her country, and she kept it from European colonization at that time. Fannie Lou Hamer is one I just have to name as we get ready for our guest, who's going to be on in just a little bit. Fannie Lou Hamer. And we know that she was a powerhouse in terms of advocating for voters' rights in the South. And she was at the Democratic Convention during her time. And she led just lots of movements to bring about voting rights. And she was a great encourager for women to get into all races to run for office. And then one of the authors that I really love was Lorraine Hansberry, who wrote the acclaimed play, A Raisin in the Sun. And so those were some of my favorites. I'm getting ready to bring in our guest. So let me let him, if he's already tuned in, and I believe he is, let me get him, alert him, and let him know that I'm going to bring him in, and I hope he can hear me. And if I have to give him a little time, Paul Allen, are you there? You're going to have to pull your camera down if you can hear me. I hope you can. Paul Allen, can you hear me? Move your camera down. Move your camera down. There you go. Move it on down. Move it on down. There you are. There you are. Okay, can you move it over some? Let's see. Put yourself in the center. Let's see if you can. All right, there you go. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Paul Allen? Can you hear me? Is your mic on? Is your mic on? Let me see. Y'all, now y'all stay with me. Now, y'all know y'all are my co-hosts. Y'all are my co-hosts. I'm going to see if I can go ahead and give him a call. I hope he has his phone handy. And y'all are going to watch me while I talk to him and see if I can get him to hear me. See if I can get him to hear me because I want him to know that I want him to know that maybe his mic is not on.
My mic is not on.
Right, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, let me see. Okay, I'm going to cut you off of the phone and let me see if I can hear you. Okay, go ahead and say hello. Are you there? Can you say hello? Okay, now let me see if the problem might be on, it might be on my end, so I'm going to get some help here and let my helper see if she can test my mic.
Hello, Mr. Paul Allen. How are you? Can you hear me?
Okay, let's see. Unmute. Let's try to unmute. Okay, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Give me a letter.
Yeah, it says on mute. Yeah, it says on mute.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear what she's saying?
Okay. Do you know what you're doing, Jessica? Do you know what you're doing?
No.
Okay, okay, so who are we?
Paul Allen. He's on. I called him.
Hello, Paul. Can we not hear you? Paul looks good, but guess what? Your mic is not muted. Paul, can you hear me? Okay, Andrew Wiggum can hear. Paul cannot hear because he's not saying anything. Hi, Paul. I see you put your makeup on. See, I can say anything because he's not hearing, but hey there.
He was
Terry Allen, hi.
But now he's not
answering. And we're going to try to get this worked out. I don't know why we cannot hear him. Andrew Wiggum says that he can hear.
Can you call me? Call me.
And I don't know why. Okay, let me see if I'm missing a session that I'm going to have to go back to if
okay.
we don't get him. Somebody's trying to help. Is the microphone muted, helper? Okay, let me see. Okay, I can what? Okay, can hear you. Okay. I can't take cryptic messages, so I don't know if you're saying I can hear you. We can hear you. Can you hear Cheryl or Norma? Okay. I think you're going to have to talk because I have to go back to the session that I have.
What do I do? Just try to reschedule with him?
Well, I think so because if they're unable to get, he's in and his mic is unmuted and on this end.
Okay, so we'll just try to
And
okay, you can go on now.
Okay, but just go ahead, man. I'm just trying to see.
Yeah, which we may have to.
Norma is trying to work on something.
My computer is showing that yours are on mute.
No, not anymore. That was before. It's not on mute anymore.
I can hear you all, but you can't hear me.
Then it means you're on mute.
Let me try.
If you want to, if we see you and you can talk, try talking. Say something.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Well, see, I can hear you, but your video is frozen.
But I got a video on my phone.
Well, no, I was just trying to see if we could have you talk.
If he tries to ask him about his phone, would that help?
I was trying not to use him. We could just look at you. If you could just talk to him like this, can any of the people, Nina, Andrew, or Terry, can you hear Paul talking through his phone? Or I know, Jessica, you're listening. Can you? No, Jessica's on another session. Okay, I guess they can't hear me either because none of the people I called out now are saying anything. So, okay, we just lost you, Paul. What happened?
I'm trying to adjust. I'm just adjusting my computer. I'll go back to it.
Oh, gosh. Andrew says I heard something. Okay, are you in the studio, Paul?
Yes.
Okay, can you hit enter this? Broadcast or into the studio.
Okay, I'm going to it now.
This is a very important part of this session that I no, I'm Paul, did you come back into the studio, please?
Okay, I'm trying to come back now.
Okay, you see the button that says enter studio?
I'm getting into it. Let's see. Give it a minute.
Okay.
But what about him doing it on his phone?
But he's not even on camera right now. Some kind of way he got out of there.
It's loading now. It's loading back.
Okay. I'm about to cancel that session because it seems like every week I get further behind, but it's okay.
Okay, I'm back in the studio.
No, you're not.
It's not? Okay.
I'm
joining
now.
Okay, now I'm joining it.
And it says your devices are not connected. Okay, let's see what's happening. You're coming in now, and hopefully this will work out.
Everyone can see and hear you. You're in the show.
Okay, and you are. No, they're saying they hear you on the phone.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, you can hear me, but your camera's not moving. You're just sitting there, and the person who's helping you, can you move around a little bit? So move your arms around so I can see if something is happening. Okay, it's not showing. If the two of you could just talk.
Okay, we'll do that.
And I am
I'm talking. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
I can hear you very well. And so I hear people saying, they say, I can hear him. I heard something, but that doesn't tell me. Just keep going. Blog Talk Radio has it. So we'll just stay with that, okay? Okay, but the call ended.
But can we hear each other?
No, because he hung up. Okay, I...
You mean calling back?
Yeah, I don't know why he... Just a frozen screen, okay.
Getting back on speaker.
Okay, I'm
okay,
back.
That's what we're doing. Okay, why'd you leave the studio?
Because I had started hearing you.
But I needed you to stay on there so people could see you so it doesn't look like Norma's just talking to herself.
Okay. I could hear you.
Okay, if you could come in real quickly. We hear you and we know everybody. If you could get back in real quickly so that I could, because you may come back in and it may work.
Okay.
Terry, we got you, and that's what we had told him that we were going to do. And I don't know what walk out of the wood means. Do you know what that means, Norma? Okay. So I can't, maybe that's autocorrect. I hope Jessica's taking notes from my session.
Okay. I'm back. Okay, I'm entering the studio now.
Good deal. Let's see what's happening. And, okay, now you're not on the camera, so I don't know. Okay.
The camera's loading. It's loading back.
Okay.
Now, can you hear me?
Let me see something. Talk again. Speak up, please. Put that off the speaker. Okay, so his sound is not working on his end. So, can you say something, Paul, now?
This is Paul.
Okay, good deal. Let me see something.
Okay, this is Paul.
Okay, good deal.
This is Paul.
Okay, I got you, Paul. Don't say it no more. Okay, it's not going to work that way. Something is going. Yeah, we're going to have to try to reschedule because there's a delay and there's a lot of feedback. There's a lot of feedback coming from your computer. Like you're talking now and I can't hear you. Do you have your sound up on your computer? Okay, well, everyone hold on, and I know Norma is not going to be in the mood for this, what I'm about to do, but I was going to play a song. Today is my dad's birthday.
Oh.
And I was thinking about it, and she's lucky the computer says it's not going to work with me. So I was going to play a song for my dad. So we'll just listen to a little family reunion until Norma comes back. Thank you, Amy.
each other. Maybe years and years from now, family reunion. Got to have a family reunion. Family reunion. It's so nice to come together, get together. I wish Grandma could see the whole family. I sure miss her face and a warm
about that family reunion. Well, Paul Allen agreed that he and I will get together and reschedule him. Wonderful story that he's going to tell us about the Buffalo Soldiers, but we'll get him. We'll get him back. And let me just tell y'all how much I appreciate y'all as my co-host. And as I tell you every time, I blatantly stole that from Wendy Williams. And we really wish Wendy well. I understand that Sherry Shepherd is now her new show, and I don't have all the details about is that a permanent thing or temporary or what. I need to fill myself in on the background for that. But I'm telling you how much I appreciate y'all as my co-hosts, because I'm from that era when we did not have all of this digital social media, and I can not help myself. I'm so grateful for you out there in cyberland who know all about this digital social media broadcasting and stuff, which I don't. So thank y'all so much for helping us and supporting us and giving us any kind of insight you can for this show and for the technology of it. So, again, we're going to have Paul Allen to come back on another day. We'll talk about Buffalo Soldiers. But we were talking about this being Women's History Month and about you thinking of your own heroines. I mean, who? There are, oh my gosh, I made my list out. I came up with 20 females from all eras of society. And
Actually, they're in the Dallas Morning News today. If you want to look at the list, if you pick up a Dallas Morning News, you can see my personal list, and I believe it'll probably later be in Texas Metro News as well. But I'm curious about your list. But let me tell you the ones I've already mentioned, and then we'll talk about a few of those that I did not mention. I mentioned Joan of Arc from the 1400s for her bravery in the battlefield as a female. And she died a martyr. She was burned at the stake as a teenager, but she fought. She did not lie down. And I mentioned in conjunction with that the people, how proud I am of the people of Ukraine who are standing up to the Russians and Putin. And I don't know what happened with the Afghanistans. They didn't seem like they stood up. I could be wrong on that, but it seems like they just laid down and let the truck run over. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that. But these Ukrainian folk, they're fighting. And it's a big battle. We don't know how long it's going to go on. We don't know. But it's such a travesty. I mean, you know, like I said, they're minding their own business, tending to their own lives, trying to just get through the day. And this big power led by Putin, demagogue, just come in and start attacking them, blowing up their government places and many lives of citizens, innocent citizens, children, adults,
that's a statement.
Not even military people, just citizens trying to live their lives are gone because somebody who's power hungry wants more resources that don't belong to him, more land that doesn't belong to him. Now, he can put up all kind of excuses that he wants.
In some kind of position to try to bring
and it just won't wash. You can give me your
what do you think?
You can give me your comments in the chat if you would like. And you can also call in on our Blog Talk number. Let me give you that number if you want to call in and voice an opinion on that issue with Russia and Ukraine. And the Blog Talk number is 646-200-0459. And you can call in and give your comments. 646-200-0459. And that's the call-in number. Or you can type your comments in the chat. I'm curious. Maybe I'm off on a limb. Maybe I'm looking at this whole thing wrong. Maybe there's something about it that I've not given thought to. But it's just a terrible situation. You know what? I don't think anybody likes bullies, but I cannot abide bullying. You know, I always paint this picture of Shaquille O'Neal and Kevin Hart. Shaquille O'Neal challenges Kevin Hart to a physical fight. Who's going to win? The one who's bigger, more powerful. But now, unless Kevin Hart is a little, David and Goliath. Maybe it's like a David and Goliath situation, unless Kevin Hart has a stone to throw at Goliath as being little David. And I think little David rejected even armor. The story, as I remember it, is that the powerful ruler tried to give little David, who's like a little Kevin Hart, all of this armor from head to toe. And little David said, I can't wear all this cumbersome stuff. This is slowing me down. It doesn't fit. It was too big for him. He's little. But he had his own weapon. which were stones. And he was used to throwing stones. So little David, we'll say little Kevin Hart, goes up against Shaquille O'Neal, who is Goliath. And big Goliath just laughs at you, little pipsqueak. What do you think you're going to do against big, strong me? But guess who won? But the moral of the story, of course, is that David had a higher power. That's kind of the moral of the story, and the people that he represented were linked with a higher power. And so the big giant fell. Oh, my gosh. Kaboom. Got hit right in his temple with a stone. One smooth stone. Big giant Goliath, little David, who we'll visualize as Kevin Hart versus Shaquille O'Neal. And so that's my illustration of Ukraine and Russia, big, powerful government. And but the right one won. So I'm kind of hoping for a David victory over Goliath in this Russia and Ukraine situation. But anyway, I was talking about Joan of Arc and how she fought. She fought. She died a martyr, burned at the stake as a teenager, but she went down fighting. So I mentioned her. I mentioned Marian Anderson. I mentioned Eleanor Roosevelt. I mentioned Yvonne Newell and Harriet Tubman. I mentioned Ida B. Wells and Shirley Chisholm. I mentioned Alice Ball, and I really want y'all to go to that exhibit in the lower level of the African American Museum at Fair Park. And Miss Jones, the curator out of Houston, came up and put this exhibit. It'll be there through mid-March. I think I want to say March 16, but y'all can get more information on it. But and Alice Ball is part of the installation. And I talked about Josephine Baker. I talked about Golda Meir and my runners up as female heads of government. We know that Golda Meir was the first female prime minister of Israel. They called her Iron Lady. And then my runners up for that position were Eva Peron. I loved how she led her people, and Margaret Thatcher as a female leader. I mentioned Lucille Ball as an entertainer. She's just really an outstanding entertainer, and I'm sure everybody tuning in have seen every episode of I Love Lucy on those reruns on TV. So funny. And her expressions, she could give these expressions. And I tell you, I mentioned in the column how much my mother's humor reminded me of Lucille Ball. My mama was